Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20 as we pick up where we left off last time. And if you remember, we were talking about Paul wrapping up his Ephesians ministry and longing to go to Jerusalem and then kind of getting sidetracked a little bit. Then the riot happened. They kind of sped up his timetable to leave. And if you'll remember, we kind of ended there where some of the other believers, not Paul, but some of the other believers were brought, and the kind of riot that happened that was spurned on by the, if you'll remember, the idol makers of Ephesus who were losing money because people were becoming Christians and no longer buying their idols. And so they stirred the people up, and a couple of the believers were seized and brought up on stage. And finally, after a long time of this kind of riot going on, the city clerk, one of the leaders of the city, came and kind of diffused the situation, told them if it was really a financial thing, they could take them to court, but they weren't going to be a mob, they weren't going to hurt anybody, and kind of diffused it. And, of course, the other believers restrained Paul from going to get involved in the conversation and in the platform, trying to protect him. And finally, the assembly dismissed. And so that's where we pick up the story now that has happened. And now Paul, even though he had expressed it earlier and then continued to stay a little longer, now is going to expedite his plans to return to Jerusalem and thus bring kind of an end to this third missionary journey. But he's going to take his time to get there as well. But so let's look at that. Chapter 20, verse 1. And when the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. And he traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months, because the Jews made a plot against him just as he was about to sail for Syria. And he decided to go back through Macedonia. And he was accompanied by Soptar, son of Phyrus, and Berea, Aristarchus, and Sicadunus, and from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. And these men went ahead and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in these few little verses, mostly talking about his travels. So Paul, again, is taking his leave from Ephesus, and he decides to go through Macedonia. And we had the map a couple of weeks ago, or last week, where we looked at some of that journey. And, of course, Macedonia means Corinth in particular. And if you want to know more about what happens, you know, he talks about 3 months right here in one verse. If you want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 through 7, that tells you what happened in those 3 months. And that kind of overlaps there with verse 1 and 2 of the 20th chapter of Acts. And so notice here, after all this list, the person who's not mentioned is Titus, and Titus is going to join them later. most likely in Philippi. Paul stops first at Troas with hope to meet Titus. If you'll remember, he had sent Titus to Jerusalem, to Corinth earlier, and was waiting for Titus to come back and give him a report on how they were doing. We talked a little bit that after Paul got to Ephesus, he heard about a problem they were having at Corinth, and so he addressed it in a letter, and he sent that with Titus. And at least as I look at it, Brother Neil, it seems to me that he was trying to meet up with Titus before he got to Corinth to kind of know what he was walking into. And the scripture doesn't say anything that was his motive, but he seems to be taking his time getting to Corinth and going in a route where he would have met Titus on his way back. And I just know that when I'm going into a meeting with somebody where there's been conflict, I want to get as much information as I can before I get there, so I know what to expect. So I think that was where he was, kind of hoping that when he got to Troas that maybe he would find Titus there. And what he ended up with were some opportunities to have a witness there. But it seems that, you know, his focus was still on getting to Corinth and intercepting Titus. And he will finally meet up with Titus, who is returning from Corinth. And, of course, as you look at Corinthians, Titus brought Paul the news that the letter had done what Paul wanted to do. The offenders had been disciplined, and the church had kind of been reconciled to Paul, because there had been some real challenges to Paul's authority in the church because of this situation. It's kind of like then he writes 2 Corinthians to send it on ahead as he's on his way there. That's kind of the setting for him getting to Corinth. And we see this in the 2-3, verse 2-3. And instead, we see his 3 months stay there in Greece. This is his final visit to Corinth. And so this took place probably around 55-56 A.D. Again, this is the third missionary journey. It's probably 25 to 30 years after Christ's death and resurrection. And so that's when he's there. And it's also during this 3 months he was in Corinth that most scholars believe that he wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the letter to the church in Rome. And so that happens. So like I said, there's a lot that happens in these two little verses that just talk about him being in Corinth for 3 months. But again, still his focus is Corinth, and then it is to get on to Jerusalem. We see again another plot, as he was going to travel to Syria, instead he decided to go back through Macedonia by land. He sends this group of helpers on with him. And his entourage has kind of grown as we read that list. But here again, I want to remind you, one of the things that he's been doing, we talk a lot about the offering that Antioch Church had given much earlier to the church in Jerusalem, because the Christians who stayed in Jerusalem, that key city of trying to reach the Jews, that many of them had lost their jobs, they had been put out, they had become destitute, and so they were giving to the poor. And here, as he makes this third journey through Asia and Macedonia and Greece, we see Paul kind of receiving another offering at every stop to go to Jerusalem. So again, it's not safe to travel with the kind of offering money that he probably got. So that entourage is probably in part in protection for that offering that he's trying to take back to the church at Jerusalem. And as you look again at who he's got with him, and again, some of why, you know, we look at who these people are, and so they're from all the churches that he had established all over Asia, all over this journey. But think about the cultures that they represent. You know, you've got mentioned there Sophter, the son of Pharis from Berea. You've got Aristarchus and Seducus from Thessalonica. And so these are men from kind of the Macedonian churches. Gaius and Timothy would represent South Galatia. Tychus and Tophonus would have been from Ephesus, from Asia. And so he's got Europeans, he's got Asians, he's got other believers from these countries, and every place he's taken up an offering for Jerusalem. And so, one, not only does it show how the gospel has spread and is including all different cultures and races and ethnicities, but unifying them together by taking up an offering for the mother church back in Jerusalem, and how that would have bound all of these diverse churches together in this common goal of propagating the gospel and taking care of each other. And so it's just such a beautiful picture of even the diversity of the church at such an early time. And so Paul travels to Philippi, and there he stays and observes Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so he says 7 days. Remember, Passover is a one-day event, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread is tied to it, and it's a week-long event. And so he celebrates, spends that week there in Philippi, and celebrates the Passover there. And then he departs, this time from the port, going by sea, and it takes him 5 days to get there, where he catches up with the rest of his team who have gone on before him. But we also see, again, this beginning of knowledge that every place he goes, they're concerned about him being arrested. And what we know, and I think maybe, and sometimes we read too much into it, but I think maybe Paul even has a clue. You know, he wants to go to Rome, but he is going to make it there, but he's going to end up there in chains because he goes back to Jerusalem. And so you begin to see some of the same kind of things, I think, from his entourage that Jesus heard from the disciples when he went to Bethany, and that was, it's too dangerous. If you go, they're going to arrest you. They're going to get you. And, of course, they did. But here maybe we begin to see that with Paul, them knowing eventually that he's going to end up and be arrested. So that is the story of Paul wrapping up his journey and leaving. And so now he has left Philippi and he's ended up at Troas. And so that's where we are in verse 7. At 7 o'clock. And we're at not a pastor's favorite story, but church member's favorite story. The story of Eutychus. Anybody remember what happened to Eutychus? He goes to sleep in the sermon, and you see what happens when you sleep through a sermon. You fall out the window and die. And
but you see what it says, because Paul preached to midnight.
It's because Paul preached to midnight. Well, so now you got to come back next week, and we'll look at that passage, the story of Eutychus, next Wednesday night.
After chapters.
So you'll be full and you'll go to sleep. There in our So we may sit a couple of you right there by Gus leaning against the window. Make sure you stay away. Yeah. Well, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. And just as we have prayed for diverse believers tonight in Russia and in Ukraine, people in the midst of conflict, people in the midst of their life being in danger, Father, we pray for those brothers and sisters. And we're encouraged tonight to how to see, even in the newness of the church, being just 25 years old, that yet we see Asians, we see Galatians, we see Europeans, we see Thessalonians, we see Jews, and many other ethnic groups and diversity of your people. And we are just thankful that you've given us a gospel, not just for one people, but a gospel for every race, every tongue, every skin color. A gospel to care and share with people who are Ukrainian, who are Russian, who are European, who are African, who are Asian, who are American. And Lord, we just pray that you would use us to share the truth of the gospel, the hope that is ours. And you would use us to show comfort and prayer and care for believers around the world. And Father, we do pray. We do pray for you to be glorified in everything we do. And that reminds us again to pray for Ariel's parents and for their salvation. Father, just as I pray for my brother and his salvation, and just as we pray for others, that they would be saved. You work and you bring your saving touch, the conviction of the Spirit, and the life-changing truth of God's Word, and that you would change people's lives forever. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.